They come from the depths of central Queensland, Australia.
It's a crocodile!
No.
It's Banksy and Pinky.
Central Queensland CFM morning crew.
Banksy and Pinky.
Well, good morning, Pinky.
You're here, Banksy.
I am. You're all good. I was having this really strange dream, this nightmare.
Yeah, nightmare.
As a matter of fact, I woke up and apparently I was dreaming Donald Trump was the president of the United States of America, but I know that can't be right.
Yeah, no, it's front page of the papers, it's everywhere.
He is. That happened.
And one of the best Facebook comments from the Observer's Facebook page this morning goes to Antoinette. She says, I'm so excited for the season finale of America.
Ooh. Yeah.
But, you know, over 50% of the population voted for him, which also means that just under 50% didn't.
That's also right, yeah. I think change was voted for more so than the man himself.
God. Yeah, well, change is great, right? But then there's specifics.
Yeah. Maybe you should have just went on a holiday because sometimes it's...
Get a haircut, mate.
But seriously. Hey, look, let's cross our fingers and hope for the best with him and hopefully he can make some good changes and do some good things.
Well, we'll talk more about that shortly with details as well where you can find us for McHappy Day.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Found the news out yesterday and in a shock, really, that Donald J. Trump is going to be the next president of the United States of America. Over half the population has voted for him and voted for a little bit of change, I suspect.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff getting around on social media. Obviously, if you're on Facebook, you'll see it with people ranting and raving and talking and calling America, you know, dumb. But what I'm also recalling is, just under 50% of people didn't vote for Trump. It's not all of America, and they're not all necessarily dumb. It is scary, though, I think.
Such a... An odd day yesterday. Mm. I have never in my life had so much interest in an American election or have so many people come up to me and talk to me about the American election. It's certainly had the whole world looking. And now that Donald J. Trump will be the next president of the United States, hopefully some good change will come from it. You know, it's one of those situations where, okay, it's cross your fingers and hope for the best. Hopefully something will come out of it. What do you think of this whole deal?
Oh, I wouldn't have voted for him. I'll just put that out there. I'm shocked and worried for America and the world. But at the same time, there's the other angle of like, yeah, I'm going to just sit and wait and watch. And, you know, politicians talk a lot of rubbish. And they come good and they don't come good a lot of times. So maybe he's just been filling us with fear and dread for some of us. And like my husband said, look, maybe he might just kick back and think he's such a legend. He doesn't do anything.
Probably.
Like major
lazy. I think that's what Obama
did. His spray tan. I didn't think Obama did that. But, yeah, maybe Trump just kicks back and doesn't do stuff. And that might be good too.
Yeah. Well, look, on 13/27/10, how do you feel about this situation? Of course, yes, it's America and it's a long way away, but the whole world will be affected in some way.
Big part of the world, yeah.
It'll change, hopefully for the better.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFMCQ.
Bernie, the world this morning is changed a little. Donald J. Trump will be voted in as the next president of the United States. How did you feel when you heard that?
I was just surprised at such a loud mouth, disrespectful, you know, womanising, lying pig got in, and it just made me think, maybe I should run for Parliament.
Oh, there you go. It's a bit like watching, I don't know, South Park or The Simpsons. It's like we're watching a cartoon, isn't it?
You're not quite believing what you're seeing, or...?
I was at the pub when people last night for dinner, and people were just in shock. People were just going, "You're kidding? How's this guy won?"
Yeah, like, I think his whole campaign was built on dividing the country, but then he had that little speech, the acceptance speech, where he says, "We need to all get together," and straight away, "Come on, people!
Oh, yeah,
now
things change. Yeah.
Smile on your brother, everybody. Get together. Try to love one another right now."
That's because he wants Congress to vote his stupid ideas through.
Yeah, but Bernie, it's as likely as Kanye West getting in for presidency now, isn't it? It looks likely.
It's unbelievable. It is dumbfounding when you see how he got through. But I mean, multimillionaires and billionaires have got through Parliament a lot of times.
Yes,
the Bushes. I mean, in Australia, Turnbull, he's one of the richest men in Australia.
This guy's no well, politician at all. He's had no...
No, it's just money talk.
He's not being a politician to make money. He's already made his money. So hopefully he'll make some good changes. That's all I can
think.
You're
loving him, aren't you, Banksy?
Well,
he's going to make good changes.
I'm just hoping that it goes that
There's
way.
That's the key word, hoping.
Because it obviously needs a change. There's people over there with no jobs. It's nearly a third world country in some parts, so... I don't think building
a wall.
But that's not his aim,
is it, to help those people, Banksy?
And
I think that's the problem.
Everyone who's lived there for all their life, if you're a Muslim, get out. Like, these sort of things are crazy and stupid, but hopefully there's someone around him that can pull him back into line just a little bit.
And just they give the codes for those atomic bombs and things. This is going to be crazy.
I know.
All I say is I'm hedging my bets, and I have decided to copyright hashtag James Packer for Prime Minister.
Don't be surprised.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFMCQ.
What do you think about the Trump news?
Well, I think the whole world kind of had a few days to get used to the fact that this may actually happen.
Mm.
So I don't know if everyone is as shocked as... the other half, but I think it definitely shows the desperation of the American people, you know what I mean?
Why do you think they voted for Trump?
Well, I think they're just starving for a change. I think everyone could see the same trajectory if Hillary Clinton was voted in.
Yeah.
I don't think there was much change to be expected.
Yeah. So you think that they voted for the change rather than the man himself?
The only other option they had.
Yeah, was so, someone who was completely at the system that has screwed a lot of Americans over already.
Yeah, and if you listen to a lot of the news, the large consensus is that people were sick of the politicians in Washington.
Yep.
As a very, very common trend there, or a common trend of politics, and it was going nowhere for them, really. And I think this was a fresh change that everyone threw caution to the wind and said, stuff it, let's just have a crack.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think you're spot on with why they're voting and
And I think we need
reasons.
To remember, though, it's not like it was a landslide win. It's not like 80% of America voted for Trump.
No, it was a big 50-50.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, not everyone voted for him.
It was a decent upset, though, I think.
Of course.
People were expecting Trump to get, like, 10 votes and Hillary getting the rest.
No, I didn't think he would. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everyone was surprised, but I think you'll find most of America was pleasantly surprised. Even the people who didn't vote for him, I think half of those people will be going, well...
All right, well, let's see how this goes, kind of thing. Yeah. Yep. Thanks for the call, champion. Good morning, CFM. Who's this?
Yeah, Bruce.
Bruce, what's your thoughts? How do you feel about this Trump thing?
Stop the planet. I want to get off.
Oh, come on. It can't be that bad, can it? Are you really worried that much?
Listening to some of the things he was going on about during the election campaign, which was a pain in the backside.
But Donald Trump will say anything to get in.
Yeah, but he's, peddling fear and...
Yeah, well, over 50% of Americans are gun-toting fools, and they're the ones who voted him in, because he's all for everyone bearing arms, like their constitutional right.
Yeah.
And Hillary was going to bring in gun control. Yeah. Which they didn't want.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
What about you, Mick?
It's a shock, I think, but... I'm starting to think the way the Americans are. I think they may be tired of traditional politics. And I hate to say it, but I think we're moving down the same way, because federal and state governments here in our country moving forward with too much.
I think one of his campaign lines was drain the swamp, which means he wants to go into Washington, D.C. and get rid of all the underhanded politics and all the money that's siphoning into the under-the-counter deals and all that.
Because he wouldn't have anything to do with
Because I think, he's a very trustworthy kind of guy.
Yeah, that's the problem with it all.
In business.
I'm not a fan of Trump. I'm just talking about what the American people were looking at.
Yeah, sure. No, you're right.
Right, what you take it, right? We want a dam out here, right, so we can make this area grow and we can sell produce overseas. Now, why is that so hard for a politician to say, yeah, we'll do it? We want a resort that's going to bring jobs. Millions, $100 million resort, okay? And not going to give us a casino license, but the Gold Coast can get 2 casino licenses.
Yeah.
Cairns can get 2 casino licenses. Is it easier to build 2 extra lanes to the Gold Coast? Because that's easy, you know?
I see where that's a good analogy, actually, I've got to say.
One of the major supermarkets, I think it's that mob that are building that new complex at Parkhurst, they said, we're not buying canned food from Australia. We're buying it from overseas because it's cheaper.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, where the Americans are going. We've just lost our car industry. I know that it's very hard to compete against Asia to build motor cars, etc. But I can understand where the American people are coming from because they're losing their jobs. Have a look at our call centres. You ring up a bank, you ring up an insurance company, you ring up telcos. You're talking to someone in another country. Why?
Yep.
Why is it so hard to keep those sort of jobs? Because they're not high-paying jobs.
Yeah. No, they're not. Yeah.
Vicky, how do you feel this morning?
A little bit shocked, but after my husband said that he's got even more say with the independents in most of the seats or something.
Yeah.
Hoping that he'll actually make a change of the people who run the world.
Get out, you know, the like crooked the sugar, politicians kind of thing.
The sugar companies and the tobacco companies and the pharmaceuticals.
Yep.
They're the ones that run the world.
Well, that's the thing. He's got a lot of power. It's just, will he do more good than harm?
Will he do more good,
that's,
Yes, but sometimes absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yep.
Well, that's why everyone's scared.
I know he's such a scary person in the in the way he speaks.
Yeah.
But if he can do some good, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you, I think. Just, you know what? God, you've been given this opportunity. Don't mess it up, Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, don't mess it up.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFNCQ.
Donald J. Trump is going to become the next president of the United States.
Here's one of my favourite comments of the day so far from comedian Ricky Gervais from The Office.
Yeah.
He says, "Don't be fooled, people. All this stuff in America is just to bury the news about the new Toblerone." Which we talked about yesterday.
He might be onto something.
Thank you, Ricky. Thank you.
Toblerone conspiracy of 2016.
Where would we be without comedians to talk about this stuff?
Hey? Yeah, look, I think it's good. We need to keep that laugh factor up about Donald Trump, but
that's why we use humour.
Within that, we still need to keep a cautious eye on the world too. On 13:27:10, we're just taking your calls. How are you feeling about the news after yesterday? What about you, Groundsman? Oh, no, it's not Groundsman. It is Groundsman. Hey, getting my lines mixed up. Hopefully Trump doesn't get his lines mixed up. Or has he done that already? Groundsman, what do you reckon, champion, about this whole news thing?
Yeah, you know, how else could America go? They've had movie stars as presidents. They've had complete clowns as presidents. it's just like watching Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, well, I think it would have been a good change to maybe have a woman president as well with Hillary Clinton, but I think a lot of Americans just think, no, she's part of that system that has messed up my life. I want someone else in there.
You're not voting for people's gender. Like,
yeah, that's
you know,
true.
I would have voted for her as opposed to Trump, but not because she's a woman, because I don't completely agree with her either, so,
yeah. I just thought of wondering what sort of scandals old Hillary could have had.
Yeah.
You know, like, she would have been sitting at the desk that Monica used to sit under. But
she is pretty tainted, you know? She's been part of the Clinton era for however long now. I mean,
she's also responsible for the hearsay of ISIS and all that sort of crap too. So, you know, the Americans have got a lot to thank for themselves. They voted him in. They put up with him for 3 years or 4 years and see how it goes. I really don't think he'll do 8 years, but who's to say?
Yeah. Well, Groundsman, it's interesting too because almost it's also just spelling out how their system works for getting a president like that who's not even a politician, you know? Like, there's all sorts of things that have led to this happening.
But the thing is, you know, the whole lead up to the whole election trial and the rubbish that goes on, he doesn't become the kingpin until the 20th of January. Now, in Australia and everywhere else, you become kingpin straight away.
Yeah.
So Obama can still make laws to stop some of the crap that he wants
that's
to start.
True. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of thinking about it.
you know when you're finishing up a job and you just, I'm just going to put the craziest stuff through here I can and just leave it.
Or not do three quarters of it.
Yeah, or not do anything. I'm just going to phone it in for the rest. So, look, hopefully something good comes out of this. That's the impression I keep getting from people is that hopefully.
Well, you can only hope, can't you? Come on.
Yeah, you can. Rumour has it that the amount of police in Canada are being out hunting moose, and so the amount of police can go around and try and keep the Americans out of Canada.
That's an actual thing. The Canadian
immigration site.
Website crashed yesterday. So if that's a sign of the times, I don't know what is.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFMCQ.
You're delving into the litter box on CFM.
From the Alma Street Veterinary Hospital, it's Dr. Greg Muir. How are you this morning, Dr. Greg?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, fantastic.
Living in a Trump world now.
Trump world?
Trump yeah. world it
Trump
is.
Trump world.
Trump lands.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yes, we will. Yes. But
I was going to say living in a tropical world, because it's damn hot out there, I can tell you.
It is.
Isn't it?
It is particularly hot, Dr. Greg.
What are the top temperatures we're going for in central Queensland?
We got 38 today, 40 tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're up there. So we wanted to talk with you about getting through a heat wave with our pets.
Yeah,
looking after the animals in a heat wave.
Yeah, look, really important. Every year we do get some dogs that overheat.
Right.
And when they really overheat badly, it can be really serious, and they can die from that as well. So their temperature just goes so high and it damages their organs inside. And unfortunately, it leads to a cascade that we just can't save them. So,
is it the obvious signs of overheating, like they're panting a lot? And
yeah, so it's often just do that. What they generally do is some extreme exercise during a hot period.
Okay.
So we've just got to watch our dogs, especially those excitable dogs, like, you know, for example, your Staffies and things like that.
Chewbacca.
So what happens is something excites them and they get really going and they really get going and do too much.
Unaware of how taxing
dogs,
the heat is.
Yeah, absolutely. Dogs that chase pigs, another example. And your other ones that we've just got to really watch out for is your what we call brachycephalic, which is your squash-faced dogs, if you like. So things like your bulldogs, pugs and that sort of stuff. Because they just can't release the heat like other dogs can.
So. Right, so you're saying it's not just about making sure they have heaps of water available. We have to monitor their behaviour too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right,
so, yeah,
okay.
It's when they really get going in that middle of the day. So if they're just sitting around, absolutely, they have to have plenty of water. And, and you know, we've got to keep it cool. If we're hot, they're going to be hot. So you don't want to take them for a run or anything like that, you know. So
is it important to have fresh water all the time? Because I've been told that, particularly with dogs, they don't like drinking water that's not really that fresh. It's been sitting there for a week.
They don't want your filtered water.
No.
They want grubby stuff,
like
don't
they?
They
puddle, don't they? Yeah. Give them the fresh water.
Do.
Look, I give my fresh water every day, you know, and, you know, just keep bowls fresh and everything like that. So I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay.
But the, you know, how they drink it or whatever probably doesn't matter as long as they get that water in. So, and it's true, they do lose all their heat through their tongue. So that's, you know, they've got to pant it off and that.
Now, this might be able to answer an argument with my wife and I, but is it right to have the dogs inside in the air conditioning when it's hot?
Oh, well,
it's a good question.
Mine do.
Yeah, but health-wise, do they need to be?
They don't necessarily need to be.
Okay,
so, you know, they will get used to it. And they do. Their hair does trap a cool layer of air more on the top of their coat.
They're built for coping
so,
in those conditions.
They should be able to cope with those temperatures. And there's plenty of outside dogs that do. And look, you know, mm-hmm. over the years, we all survived 50 years ago with no air conditioning.
With no air con.
Yeah, we can't survive
but
without
hey,
it now.
But hey, you know, climate change and stuff,
so
mate.
So they
you know.
Can. And dogs are sensible. You'll see them. They'll be sitting around today. They won't be doing too much.
Oh, Chewie's. He spotted the coolest spot in the house and in the backyard too. And thank you, I now owe my wife $50. Brilliant.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
You're delving into the litter box on CFM.
With Dr. Greg Muir from the Alma Street Veterinary Hospital, of course, right on 7:15. And Dr. Greg, we are talking about heat and how to keep our pets hydrated throughout this little mini heat wave we've got.
Yeah. Look, if you don't feel like going for a run in the middle of the day, don't go for a run and don't take your Staffy with you.
Absolutely. And one way, look, if they're just getting a little bit hot as well and you want to cool them down a little bit, look, a hose, just to wet them down is a good way to go because it'll release some of that heat as well. So,
yeah, good idea.
But the signs here, when they're getting really distressed and everything and just, you know, really overheated, sometimes they just about can't walk. We really need to see those guys because they need to go on to intravenous fluids because they have issues with their muscles breaking down and then kidneys and things
it's
like that.
It's very serious.
Yeah, it can be. It can be real bad. Yeah. So.
Okay. Hmm. Now, this morning, if perhaps you had a question to ask Dr. Greg, but it was earlier in the week and you've just forgotten to send it through, never mind. You can send them through to our Facebook page anytime, and then we can, of course, ask him next week. Send them through to Facebook, CFMCQ.
I got a question from Graham here for you, Dr. Greg.
We have a canary that's probably getting about 12 months old now that has a band that's on their legs. It's a metal band. And just recently, she started attacking it with a vengeance. And my question is, it is starting to inflamed the leg. What's the best way of getting rid of those bands?
Dr. Greg, the bands on the little canaries. Do you know what he's talking about there?
Yeah, absolutely. They're a bit of a bugger, and sometimes what happens, you get a bit of swelling around the leg, and then it sort of almost traps the band, and it can get serious enough that it'll sort of just wear through the skin, and even you can lose some blood supply sometimes to your bottom of your leg, so it can get quite serious. They're hard to get off. We actually generally anaesthetise them, so they're nice and still for us, and then we actually use sort of wire cutters, tin snips to try and really gently, you know, sort of pick them off.
But they obviously got to be still.
That's the problem. Yeah, so that's what we would generally do. So
bring them into Dr. Greg at the Elmer Street Veterinary Hospital, and he'll take care of Canary Bird.
Thank you.
Not a problem. That's why we're here. That's why the litter box exists. Again, get to our Facebook page. Even if you've got a question, Dr. Greg can answer it next week. Give him some good prep time. Although, didn't need any prep time with that canary question, though, Dr. Greg. On the ball, sir.
Yeah, no, we see a few of those every now and then. So, yep. I like those little canaries. Good little birds.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFMCQ.
So there's been a bit of a survey done regarding pet owners and landlords. Bit of a for against thing again.
And the survey says, Pinky,
landlords should be forced to allow pets in rental properties. That's what people are after. A new law to say that when they're looking for a rental property, that they should just be allowed to live there, whether they have a pet or not.
Because in my understanding, that's up to the landlord. That's at their discretion, right?
It's up to them.
Okay. So they're the ones making the decision on whether or not you as a pet owner can move into your home with your pets.
Yeah. Now, I'll say with my own story with this is that we have a house that we bought in regional Victoria, which we now rent out. So we are now currently renting.
So you're a landlord?
Yeah.
Oh.
And as a landlord, because we do have two dogs and we found it incredibly hard to get a rental when we moved away from that house because of the dogs.
Yeah.
And they're outside dogs and we're actually responsible and we're not feral. And we still got told, well, no, because we're figuring that either they'll live inside and wreck the house like a previous renter did or you'll damage it and not pay to fix it.
It's just a blanket decision to go, no pets.
Yeah, we just
regardless
got told
of
no.
Your individual circumstance.
Yeah, regardless of your income and whether you tick all the other boxes, you've got pets, no. So we had to go and get a referral from the real estate who had inspected our home to put on the market for it. Yeah.
To those sort of lengths.
Yeah. We were really starting to think, wow, do we have to let go of our pets to even be able to move?
Oh, see,
because
that's
how hard
that's
it
not
was.
Right.
No, and we didn't have to, but you know, you start thinking that because they're making it brutally hard, and then,
again,
other friends just lying about it.
Oh, you get the constant,
like,
no, we've got no pets here, no. And then on inspection day, you know, the neighbours get to look after the pet and whatever, But now, look, you're a landlord. You're okay with the pet situation?
Well, so we've said yes, because we understand how hard it is. So we're saying yes to pets. Obviously, they just need to talk to us about it and say what pets they got and what's the scenario.
With my thing, I wanted to have a pet, but we were in rentals for, you know, the last decade plus.
Yep.
And we could never have pets. And I really wanted my kids to grow up with a dog.
Yeah.
So, once we finally bought our own home, then we could get Chewbacca. Yeah. So
I think it would be too easy to say no because of the people that do create damage. So, I definitely wanted to go with the yes because I felt it was difficult for my own self and I'm a responsible pet owner.
Yeah. Let's open up the phone lines this morning on 132710. How difficult have you found it to rent because you're a pet owner?
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Good morning, Crystal. How hard is it to get a rental as a pet owner?
Not speaking from personal experience, I've actually never rented.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's word to be said out there for people who do have pets and then end up, a lot of the pets end up unwanted or at the pound or just being left somewhere. And I think that's a real cause for concern for local towns and people like I who do foster caring for a local animal organisation.
The people have been forced to give up their animals because they can't find a home.
Yeah, it's horrible. What a horrible situation. I would never do it. I would keep searching for a house. But how hard is it? I also own a rental property.
Yep.
And yes, hands down, I said absolutely have pets.
Yeah.
I don't want you to have to make such a horrible decision.
So, Crystal, it is a thing. People are making the decision I thought I might have to make.
Yeah, yeah. How horrible. Wow. Why do we put
really
them in this
sad.
Situation?
Yeah.
And then end up all these animals at the pound, which I know is a lot, like way too many that gets reported.
Absolutely. And Crystal, good on you for being a foster carer
good
and
you,
opening up your home to a family who has pets as well. Good on you.
Oh, thanks very much.
That's great. Nicole, what about you? How difficult have you found it to rent because you're a pet owner?
Oh, my God, it was so hard. Mm. I actually had to provide a picture of my cat.
Yep.
The cat's an indoor cat. Mm-hmm. I had to provide references for it, emergency accommodation, my pet details of my vet for when I lived in South Australia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like,
we've
wow.
had to do that as well, Nicole. We had to make up a contract that said we would agree to pay for all damages if our pets did that and if we had been lying about them being outdoor pets as opposed to indoor, blah, blah, blah. There was never a problem.
Well, we were a bit of a similar situation, but ours is an indoor cat and it's like, oh, my God, and we have to get the place fumigated after we move out.
Yes.
Yeah, all these extra expenses and everything, and you actually had to sign a contract. Did the cat have to put a paw down on there or sign it or anything? No. Or?
But we have to sign it on the cat's behalf. Like it.
Yeah, like it kind of understands law.
Yes, Nibble feels that he will be a good tenant.
So you've actually successfully got somewhere, though?
Well, we did. We moved to CQ with nowhere to live. Mm-hmm. On the way, we got denied for one house or two houses.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we're going to live in our caravan. And yeah, by the time we got here, the real estate agent changed their mind. And
yeah, good. Excellent. Yeah,
at least there's a happy end to that story.
A win for the pet owners.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Finding out what you think about that on 132710.
Yvonne, how hard has it been for you to get a rental as a pet owner?
When I was renting, I only had a bird, but mm-hmm. I still had to fumigate the place when I moved out. But I'm also a landlord.
Yeah.
I've got a house in Brisbane, which I allow pets, the tenant that's in there now. I've got two beautiful dogs, but they were supposed to be outdoor dogs, which are now indoor dogs.
Right.
They've chewed three walls.
Okay, so from your point of view, you really need that house. You've given them the opportunity to have the pets there, but now they're inside and now they've caused damage. Do you find the rentals copable for that?
Well, I think they should be because they asked if there was a storm, they come inside. And I said, yes, no, come. I know I've had dogs in the past that have been absolutely terrified of thunderstorms.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, no problems. They can come in when there's storms. But then I've actually found out they're living in the house nearly 24 hours a day.
Yes.
And they've actually damaged the house, more importantly.
Yes.
So what do you have to do now?
Well, when the tenants move out, I've actually got to replaster walls.
Now, does their bond cover that, or can you get more money off them? What do you have to do to cover it?
Well, I'm hoping their bond will cover it.
Exactly. It's usually not enough, is it?
No.
That's still,
well, there you go. That's why landlords don't want pets.
Yeah, thanks
as well,
for sharing.
Which is completely understandable.
Yeah, totally, Yvonne. CFM, who's this?
Well, this is Austin.
What situation have you found yourself in renting as a pet owner?
My family owns a cat and a dog, and I think I've done more damage than they have.
Austin, how old are you?
I'm 12.
There you go.
Oh, look at you claiming responsibility. Good on you.
That's good. But something to keep in mind,
yes,
landlords.
Yes, exactly.
If there's a 12-year-old boy in there, it's probably better off you take the Persian cat option.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFMCQ.
We live in Trump world now. President Trump will be sworn in come, I think, January 20 or something next year.
Yes,
the American elections wrapping up yesterday.
Yeah, and so he's taken up the front page of our papers. It's all over social media. And, of course, yesterday, a big day, tracking it, talking about it. Been a big lead-up as well.
I've never heard this much interest.
It's been fairly painful.
In an American election ever.
It's been quite the roller coaster, hasn't it?
Sure has.
But a lot of people, particularly Australians, are asking, what were the Americans thinking? And so a lot of the publicity and discussion over here isn't positive about this move. So we thought we should get an American on the line who voted for Trump and who's thrilled about it.
What are Americans thinking? Let's find out. John Rayner, a Trump voter from American Samoa. How are you this morning?
Oh, I tell you, I am fantastic. I haven't felt this good in years.
What is the general feel about having Donald Trump being voted in as next president?
I think people are ecstatic. You know, the voters have spoken, and we were force-fed by the media that usually has a pretty hard left biased agenda, and it was pushed on us, I think, throughout the whole campaign. And the voters' response was us pushing back against them, telling us what to do and how to think.
Now, John, there's a lot of discussion about Trump becoming president here in Australia. A lot of people in Australia are shocked and saying all sorts of things about the American people. Look, I just wanted to know, what made you want to vote for Trump? Could you just tell us why you are happy about this?
Well, actually, I'm Trump's chairman here in American Samoa. I delivered all 9 of our delegates. I went to his convention. I've seen him at rallies and whatnot.
Okay.
And he's a businessman, and he's a successful businessman. And I think that that's something we need in our government. Our debt to China is absolutely huge. We're no longer considered a world leader. We're seen by weak with this new globalist approach that President Obama has forced upon us. And I think it's time for the pendulum to swing the other way. And like Trump's mantra has been the whole time, we've got to make America great again.
Yeah. So do you think middle America has voted more so for the change in way things happen rather than the man himself?
Well, you have this every once in a while. You had 8 years of President Bush, right?
Yep.
Prior to that, you had 8 years of Clinton, and you had 8 years of Obama between Bush and Trump, and mm-hmm. So it's just the momentum swings the other way. It's like a rugby match, to come up with a sports analogy, or American football. You know, yep. Just momentum changes in different ways. And it's time for the trajectory to sort of shift to the other way, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah,
you've got checks and balances. You don't want one policy or ideals governing you for eternity.
What's the one thing you want Donald Trump to do for you?
I want Donald Trump to come to American Samoa.
Right.
We're U.S. territory. Our veterans, we have more veterans dying per capita than any other state or country in the entire United States. Mm-hmm. We have not gotten any attention from President Obama. He has absolutely neglected us, and he's right there in Hawaii. He's up there golfing all the time. He's never once been down to American Samoa. And Donald Trump, actually, he came on my radio program not too long ago and assured us that if we can deliver American Samoa for Donald Trump, that he will come to American Samoa and keep us relevant, keep us on the map. So
well,
when I call radio stations like you, you know where American Samoa is now.
Yeah,
yeah, so American Samoa feels neglected.
Absolutely, yeah. Presidential policies, there's so much blanket stuff that comes out federally that just it doesn't take a small island like American Samoa that gives so much into account. So we absolutely do feel neglected. And a lot of people who traditionally supported President Obama and, like, Democrats,
mm-hmm.
they went for Trump this time just because they got it sold a false bill of goods from the Obama administration.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably a very forceful vote by the American people. They really want some change, particularly middle America, and feeling neglected probably from the last couple of administrations there.
And at the end of the day, jump on to anyone who invites change.
That was the Banksy and Pinky podcast. Check them out at cfm.com.au. Or don't. No pressure.